The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Telly time. Jennifer Gannon and Joe O'Shea are with us. And Jennifer, the IFTAs are taking place this weekend. It's a virtual event on Virgin Media One on Sunday night. But in fairness, even though it's virtual, they seem to have managed to get a star-studded cast for it.
Yeah, they definitely have. I mean, they may not be nominated for any awards, but normal people's Paul Mescal and Daisy Edgar-Jones, they're going to be part of it. But in a huge coup, they've nabbed my film daddy, Martin Scorsese, and he's going to be virtually presenting the Best Irish Film Award. And I think people will just, you know, tune in just for that, because that's a massive thing, I think, for them. And they really need it, because I think the IFTAs are scrappy at the best of times, but at least, you know, this year they won't actually have those rowdy crowds that were talking over everyone, you know, from previous years.
I've been part of that crowd on a few occasions. It can be quite raucous night, yes.
Well, I mean, it's a shame that the nominations, they kind of feel a bit out of step this year, because there was no ceremony in 2019. So as a result of that, there's a rollover of nominations that cover film and TV from the past two calendar years. So it's kind of messy, because you've nominations for the film Rosie and The Virtues and then The Dublin Murders, which feels like, you know, they happened ages ago. And I think, you know, they've had problems, like in 2018, they only had three actors in the Best Female Actress section. So it can feel all over the place, and you can't get a proper handle on it, and that's really annoying, because we have such a wealth of talent in this country, and they should be celebrated properly, especially at this moment in time when the industry is in such peril and they need our support. So I'm hoping that this virtual affair will work out for them, and then the awards themselves can get back on track after this. But
yeah, you know, Deirdre O'Kane is hosting it, Jennifer, and I see they've got the likes of Katrina Balfe, Pierce Brosnan, Ruth Negga, Liam Neeson and Chris O'Dowd all taking part. I wonder how they'll get them to do that, because there's a lot of people I know who, when it comes to those award ceremonies, are as interested almost in the interviews that are done beforehand on the red carpet as they are in the actual award ceremony itself. This might be a way of getting a little bit more interest in the whole thing if you get good interviews or good appearances by these stars.
Definitely. I mean, we've seen the Emmys this year was probably the weirdest thing I've watched on telly in a long, long time. Like, they had guys in hazmat suits walking up to the celebrities' houses. They were standing outside on the patio or in the front garden brandishing the award. And if the person lost, they just kind of walked off, trophy in hand. So it's worth watching just for these little incidences, because it's so unpredictable. Award shows are unpredictable at the best of times. But now with the added element of this virtual experience, it's even wilder. So who knows what's going to happen, and I think that's what people tune in for.
Joe, do you have any interest in watching award ceremonies?
Not at the best of times, so I'll tell you, I'll definitely tune in to see Martin Scorsese, because who wouldn't, you know? And you're right, if they do manage to get some good interviews, they've got some heavy hitters there. I'd love to hear about from Liam Neeson as well, because I don't think I've heard a lot from him recently. So if they get some good...
He has had a couple of memorable performances on the Late Late Show, hasn't he,
in the past.
Drinks taken.
I assume they'll be trying to get him early in the morning, maybe, or around
lunchtime. Oh, I don't know, I'd say give him a few whiskey. And let him off.
I'd actually forgotten about that. That was one of the wildest things I've ever seen on Irish TV, actually. I think somebody arrived out with a bottle of whiskey as well at one stage. That was a great night, actually. Yeah, so get Liam on. But definitely, if they can get some really interesting film package, or, you know, of some interviews beforehand or live, however they want to do it, Zoom or whatever, it could be really, really interesting. Like I said, Martin Scorsese, that's one hell of a get for them.
It is indeed. And President Michael D. Higgins will also give a special presentation as part of the awards ceremony. Okay, let's move on to other things. And I'm just conscious of the time that we have. So I want to talk about something that I'm picking out that I started watching last night. The first episode was on BBC, and there's next two Thursdays coming up. Joe, I think you saw it as well. The Trump Show. Yep. What did you make of it?
Yeah, and just to let your listeners know, you can watch the first episode again on BBC Two on Monday night at 11 o'clock. So you can catch this, and it's also on the player if you have access to the BBC player. I know some people do. The Trump Show is a hard watch, because it's basically Trump's greatest hits, and it goes right back to the first day of the inauguration. And it's amazing, because it's got all of the main players involved, like the big, you know, Steve Bannon is there, Rince Priebus features a lot. They're talking to Stormy Daniels. They're talking to Sean Spicer, who was the famously. And he's talking about that time that Trump sent him out on his first day and his first press conference and told him to go out and tell, basically scold or berate the journalists in the White House press briefing about the size of the crowds at the inauguration. And the great thing about the Trump show is there's been so much crazy that you actually forget how much crazy they've been. And
I might have had enough of it. And actually, I thought, wow, this is really, really well put together. This is a great run through what actually happened. Yeah. The Charlottesville stuff still has an incredible capacity to shock.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the interesting thing about the way it's made. They're not doing it as a sort of clown show, Trump. They're doing it as the darkness and the craziness and the chaos. The chaos always comes across. Like your man Wolf from The New Yorker, who, Trump famously allowed to hang about in the White House. Wolf says on the first episode, I said I wanted to write a book and could I embed myself in the White House? And he said Trump had no interest in books, so he just said, sure, whatever. And then Wolf ends up hanging out on the couch, literally in the West Wing, watching all of this insanity unfold around him, and wrote this incredible book.
And the story, actually, the one book that he was familiar with, although I'm not sure that he'd even read it, even though he claims to have written it, The Art of the Deal, the story that he actually considered taking the oath of office when placing his hand on it.
Yeah, that's Omarosa Marigold, who was one of his kind of, who fell out, the lady who was on The Apprentice with him. I mean, I'd never heard that before. It's nutty. And it's actually, if you, hopefully we're coming towards the end of this. So it's a great recap on just how insane, chaotic, mad it's all been. And the two, they're doing it year by year as they go along. So the next two episodes are second and third year. So there's still a lot of crazy to come.
There is indeed. And I say the other thing is, I see Trump is doing his usual thing at the moment of tweeting up a storm. I'd imagine he must be livid by the reports that are emerging that Joe Biden's town hall last night thumped him in the ratings. Way more people watching him. Although that might be a good thing for Trump, given that he actually seems to have been taken apart by Savannah Guthrie when she was asking the questions of him. What's your pick of the week, Jen, please?
My pick of the week is Roadkill, and it's starting on BBC One on Sunday at 9 o'clock. So this is proper autumn drama stuff. It stars Hugh Laurie as the self-made, forceful, charismatic politician. He's a narcissistic conservative leader, is there any of the kind, called Peter Lawrence. And he's hit by a series of these public revelations, the scandal about his private life and his work as a minister. But he seems to be very untroubled by this guilt, and he's attempting to outrun all his enemies and his past. And it also stars Peaky Blinders actress Helen McCrory. She's cast as the Prime Minister, Dawn Ellison, and she's trying to fight off his political advances and keep a watchful eye on him. And all four episodes are helmed by the Line of Duty director, Michael Kelly-Orr, and it's written by David Hare, who did Collateral, that very complex drama that was on BBC a couple of years ago. So it's really tense and very fast-paced, and I think it's exactly the kind of thing we need to get stuck into at the moment, definitely.
Oh, well, I'm definitely putting that one on Series Link to record that. That sounds like it could be really, really good stuff, so really looking forward to that. And Joe, your pick is a really interesting one. It's an historical one, but a very timely historical one.
Yeah, this was supposed to be the year of a lot of centenaries in Dublin and as well in Cork. There was a lot planned in Cork, and obviously it's all had to go by the board. But Terence McSweeney, 74 days, the hunger strike of Terence McSweeney is on Wednesday on RT1 at 10:35. And this is, they're going to look at, I grew up with this and people in Cork did, and Terence McSweeney, of course, but we know the legend, so to speak. But this is going to take a very interesting look at the hunger strike that was international news at the time. And it's going to look back at, it's going to talk to, it's historian Sarah Ann Buckley is presenting it, but they're looking at, they're getting scientists and people who understand what happens when a hunger strike happens to talk about what McSweeney would have gone through at the time. There were medical notes recorded very carefully by the doctors who were looking after McSweeney, and they were also fascinated at the time, and the world was kind of grimly fascinated because a hunger strike was something that wasn't really well known at the time, hadn't been done a lot or hadn't been done for many, for decades. It wasn't a tool of protest that people were familiar with. So they're going to look back and try and get a fresh perspective on the kind of, on an amazing life and a terrible death and an incredible story, and trying to shine a light on a great figure from Irish history. And like I said, in this year of centenaries, when Cork people and Dublin people as well haven't been able to you know, celebrate or mark these big events. This is going to be a very interesting watch, I think.
Okay. Now, I suppose people are always looking, or television companies are looking for new hybrids when it comes to programmes to get in the viewers. And ITV have come up with what's going to be called a cookery and dating show. And what's it going to be called, Jennifer?
Love Bites. So
right.
This is going to see potential suitors compete to win a date by cooking a three-course meal using identical boxes of ingredients. So it's kind of a bit first dates. It's kind of a bit come down with me. It sounds like a little bit of a mess. And I am worried about it because it's going to be presented by Scarlett Moffat. And I think she is great, but she's had trouble transferring her personality into her career since her appearance on Gogglebox. They've tried to plug her in everywhere. She was on the I'm a Celebrity spin-off show with middling results after she'd won the series. She briefly had her own chat show on Channel 4, and that was supposed to thrive on spontaneity, but it really only served to highlight what a novice she was in front of the camera. And I think it's hard to capture what she has and utilise it properly, whereas someone like Rylan is very outrageous and he's a fully formed kind of alter ego, but he does retain this personable presence, and that's a really tricky thing to do. And I think Scarlett is a very warm every woman, but because it feels maybe like she's someone we know more than an actual TV presence, so that might make her the most interesting of presenters, which is unfortunate, I think.
Okay, let's hear the first trailer for something called The Stand.
Mother Abigail told us that there are two sides to the world. There's the good, and then there's a deep well of darkness.
All the early ups and free, come on, run on home with me. Boom.
In the world that was, they told you it was wrong. Want more? Their time is at an end. Our time has begun.
There's bitter days ahead. Death and terror. The dark man grows stronger every day. And soon he'll destroy all who stand against him.
They say the world is now a blank page.
And it is there. Must make your stand.
What's that, Joe O'Shea?
Well, this is, I've watched the trailer, and it's a bit like The Walking Dead, kind of cross with The Road. It's a post-apocalyptic thriller. It's Stephen King's, what Stephen King's fans, and actually the man himself, the writer himself, says is his magnum opus, his great work, his, you know, this is the centrepiece, his Lord of the Rings, so to speak. Whoopi Goldberg stars in it, Stellan Skarsgård, you've got Greg Kinnear and Amber Heard. It looks interesting, and I'm not a huge Stephen King fan. He can kind of leave me hot and cold, but they've tried to adapt this for TV before and it just hasn't worked because it's a very big, sprawling, you know, story. So I think if you like The Walking Dead, I think if you're a fan of post-apocalyptic dramas in general, and a lot of people are, I think you're going to find it very interesting. It's definitely going to be worth a watch. It's only premiering in the US on CBS All Access in December. And there's no news on when it's going to come across the Atlantic, but it definitely will, because this is huge budget, you know, high profile, big TV. And I think it'll find an audience here.
I'm really excited. I'm really excited about it because I think The Stand is one of my favourite Stephen King books. And I think I remember in the book and in the mini series they made in 1994 of it, that the devil presence in it was Donald Trump avatar completely. He was this bogus businessman who lived in Las Vegas and he surveyed. He had this like outsized ego and he was followed by all these blind, stupid fans. And this time around, that depiction is probably too on the nose. So they've changed the role slightly and now it's this kind of anarchist deity who's playing by Alexander Sarsgaard. So I think it's going to be really exciting because Stephen King has said that he's going to write a brand new ending for the series that will go beyond the novel's finale. So maybe he knows something we don't know about the future, because this book is all based around how the world falls prey to a summer cold that turns into a deadly flu that wipes out half of the human race. So I hope Stephen King knows something about like how we're going to get past this.
Okay, well, as it happens, I'm surprised they're changing the Donald Trump-style character, because Stephen King on Twitter excoriates Trump on a regular basis. Jennifer Gannon, Joe O'Shea, as ever, thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.